Good morning, everybody. Happy Easter. I'm just really happy to be at church this morning. Can we flip the lights on? Perfect. Go ahead and get your Bibles out. Open to Luke chapter 24. We're going to read a few verses as we start this morning out of Luke 24. And then I'm also going to read a couple of verses out of 1 Corinthians 15. You don't have to turn there, but you can. They'll be on the screen. Once we get through Luke 24. Go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning. Isn't it just such a joy to be able to be together and worship Jesus? Thank you, God. All right, Luke 24, verses 1 through 9, before we jump over to 1 Corinthians. Luke 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. That makes it less perplexing, right? And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has arisen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to read a few verses out of that chapter, starting in verse 1. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and to the 12. Jumping to verse 17. "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are all of all people most to be pitied." This morning on this beautiful Easter Sunday, I want to share a message with you titled, "We Believe. We Believe." Would you pray with me? Jesus, we're so thankful for you. We thank you that you are alive. Really, like Ron said, it makes me happy. And I'm so thankful. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us all more revelation of this gospel this morning in our time together. As we discuss your word, would you just rip open our hearts to receive. To receive you and your word, your work in our lives. We make ourselves available to you, Lord, and we pray that you would warm our hearts towards you even more this morning. We pray that you would grow our hearts towards you more this morning. No matter how cold or on fire we may be, would you warm us towards you in a deeper way right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us in your faith and in your grace this morning. We pray for anybody here who has not bowed to the name of Jesus, that their heart would be softened and you would welcome them and they would be born again today by the power of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're so thankful. We love you. We love one another. We're thankful for this time. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and take a seat. Just feel really happy. We read the resurrection account in Luke 24, and then we read some verses out of the book of 1 Corinthians where the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. We also read out of this letter on Good Friday. And the Apostle Paul writes to them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And on Friday, we looked at how he starts off the letter in chapter 2, reminding them of the foundation of their salvation, that he had nothing fancy for them. All he had was Christ and Christ crucified. And he bookends his letter by expanding on that truth, staking everything of our faith on this thing of what he says is first importance, that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, he was raised, and he appeared to his disciples. If this is not true, the Bible tells us, then not only is my preaching to you this morning in vain, but your entire faith is in vain. Even if Jesus was a good man whose teachings give us hope in this life, if he did not raise from the dead and give us eternal life, then we Christians are of all people the most to be pitied. That's what the Bible says. One main theme of the Bible, especially in the New Testament, is God's continuous exhortation to us to hold fast in this faith. All Christians in all of times and all places have needed that exhortation, and we are no different today. It can be hard to stay faithful in a confusing world. It can be hard to stay hopeful in a painful world. It can be hard to stand firm in a shaky world. It can be hard to stay unified in a divisive world. It can be hard to stay clear in a foggy world. But we can do it, and we must do it, and we will do it. We can, and we must, and we will stay faithful. Stay hopeful. Stay standing. Stay unified. And stay clear in what we believe. Because that is what our Lord has called us to, and it is what the world needs from us the most. There is not a main tenet of our faith that I have not seen a direct statement against in our mainstream culture in just the last week or so. On top of that, then, our president over the last week took official presidential action on Good Friday to recognize and proclaim Easter Sunday as Transgender Visibility Day. Now, I know that Transgender Visibility Day is on March 31st every year, and Easter changes, so I put in real effort to kind of give the benefit of the doubt on that. But it is not nothing to take this overt action to speak on behalf of our country on Good Friday while never doing anything to actually mention Good Friday, the actual holiday that was on the day that the proclamation was made. It is not nothing to recognize today as Transgender Visibility Day and to recognize it as Cesar Chavez Day and completely disregard the central tenet of Easter Sunday, that Christians around the world celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all while at the same time banning today religious art from the White House Easter egg hunt. On March 10th of this month, there was an official statement from the president recognizing the beginning of the Islamic holy month of Ramadan, where our president and his wife officially extended their, quote, best wishes and prayers to Muslims across our country and around the world. They officially recognized Ramadan as a sacred month and a time for reflection and renewal and gave their sympathy to Muslims suffering in Gaza. Our president took the opportunity to officially say, quote, to Muslims across our country, please know that you are deeply valued members of our American family. And to all who are making the beginning of Ramadan tonight, I wish you a safe, healthy, and blessed month. Ramadan Kareem, end quote, which is Arabic for generous Ramadan. This weekend, this Christian weekend, gets zero recognition. Ramadan is recognized as a sacred month, but Easter is not recognized as a sacred weekend. Cesar Chavez is elevated for his, quote, sacred cause, what the proclamation said, but the sacred symbols of Christ are banned at an event literally celebrating Easter. And we have a day that calls us to look at, lift up, and celebrate transgenderism, but nothing for Easter. Ramadan Kareem, but not Christ is risen. No recognition of the value and the impact of Christians in our society, in our nation. And no sympathy for the millions being persecuted and suffering and being killed around the world for their Christian faith on this holy weekend. Please do not reduce what I am saying to a political statement. This is way deeper and more foundational than politics. I'm sharing with you a cultural observation that you need to understand. You cannot go with the cultural flow and expect to end up drifting towards Christ and a strong Christian faith. Now, I have nothing new to preach to you this morning. My notes just got all jacked up. What was that? I have nothing new to preach to you this morning because, if anything, Easter is about remembering. In fact, this is the same sermon that I preached to you last Easter. And I'll do the same one next year. We like taking this weekend to just go back to the basics. Good Friday, same message, walk through the gospel. And Easter Sunday is a walk through the Apostles' Creed, the church's oldest and most unifying statement of faith. And we do this to be reminded of what we Christians believe. The creeds were originally developed in church history to be unifying declarations of the true doctrine of faith. They were written to be double-edged swords. One edge is meant to unify Christians together under the truth, and the other edge is to divide the truth from heresy, to cut it off. For us to be unified with each other and with other believers, we must know what we believe. We must understand that as Christ unifies us in himself, he divides us from the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have to know what we lift up and unify around, and we have to know what we reject and divide from if we actually want to be one. And this morning, I just want to strengthen your faith and encourage our unity as a church and as Christians. As you are sitting in a country today whose culture and head of government is catechizing you on Easter Sunday about what doctrine to accept about transgenderism, about the religious value of the sacred month of Ramadan and the nobility of suffering Muslims, and about a man who we all ought to seek to emulate, Cesar Chavez, we gather as Christians to remember and be unified around what we believe. We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Who is God? What is God? He is the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We are not gods. None of us are God. No thing is God. Everything is not God. Earth is not our mother. God is our Father, and holy is his name. He is all-knowing and all-powerful, ever-present, and he is good. All existence comes from him and is held together by him and for him and in him. Because there is a real creator, we believe that reality exists and we can discover it. We believe truth exists and we can stand on it. We believe reason exists and we can use it. Because there is a designer, there is a design. And we can and we should live according to it. And we believe in Jesus Christ, his only son, our Lord. Historian Christopher Dawson said, culture is downstream from cult. A culture is created out of its beliefs. And it is worth us recognizing that we are living in a culture increasingly created by the cult of self. But we are proud and confident heretics against that cult. I am not God. You are not God. Jesus is Lord. He is God's only son, and he is our only Lord. He is the only mediator between God and men. There is no other name under which men can be saved. And in and through and by him, we have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. We believe he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and therefore was in very nature God. But he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. He became fully man by being born of the Virgin Mary. Therefore, he was both fully man and fully God, that he might sympathize with our weaknesses and be tempted in every way as we are, and also reveal the Father to us, such that he could say to us, if we have seen him, we have seen the Father. We believe he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Jesus was a man of suffering. He suffered temptation, pain, and injustice in his human flesh throughout his human life. And he suffered under Pontius Pilate in his trial and in his condemnation. He was sinless, yet he was crucified so that he could be the propitiation for your sins and for my sins. Jesus really did die as real men die. And he really was buried in a real tomb because he really was dead. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. We believe he descended into hell, that in his death, he descended to the place of the dead, where he took the keys of death and Hades. We believe he alone has the key of David. He alone opens and no one will shut. He alone shuts and no one will open. In this act, he declared his conquest over every demonic power. He disarmed every demonic ruler and authority on the earth and under the earth, and he put them to open shame by triumphing over them on the cross. And on the third day, he actually, literally, definitely rose from the dead, just like he promised he would. Death is defeated. He makes his enemies his footstool. And he appeared to his disciples and over 500 other people. In all of this, in this death, and in this descending, and in this raising from the dead, Jesus Christ, the Lord, declares victory for his kingdom to all of those above the earth, on the earth, and under the earth. We believe he ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Because of his obedience to death, even to death on a cross, he has been given the name that is above every name. And at his name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Psalm 2 tells us that though the nations rage and the peoples plot, they rage in vain. They plot in vain. It says that he who sits in the heavens laughs. He holds them in derision. And he says in verse 6 of Psalm 2, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. There is one throne that is above every nation. There is one king who lives and reigns, Jesus Christ the Lord. And we believe that as he lives and as he reigns, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Jesus lived, he died, he resurrected, and he ascended, and he is coming again. He will return and there will be an end, and he will judge you. He will judge the living and the dead. Psalm chapter 9, verses 7 and 8 says, but the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice. And he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. We believe that Jesus is the judge and he's right about everything in the way that he judges. He is righteous in all of his judgments. He is just in all that he does. He is upright in every action he takes and every word that he speaks. He is righteous and he judges the living and the dead. We take certainty that because there is a righteous judge, there is also eternal justice for every temporal injustice that we see, experience, know, and do not know. Vengeance is the Lord's. And when he comes, we will all stand before him. Believers will give an account for their faith. And unbelievers will give an account for their sins. And God will righteously give to all according to their works. The reward of faith to believers and judgment for sin to the unbelievers. Gets quieter, Ken, when we talk about judgment, as it should. We believe in the Holy Spirit. God is one God in three persons. He is the Father, he is the Son, and he is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is love, and he convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment in his love. He is our comforter. He is our helper as he reminds us of Jesus and leads us in our sanctification as saints. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. And by him, by the Holy Spirit, we are baptized into the body of Christ. We all, with all the saints, are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the one body of Christ, and each one of us is gifted by the Holy Spirit to participate with him in his body. We do not have the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we call God, Abba, Father. We believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. The word Catholic there is a reference to the universal church of Jesus Christ, his one body. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 5 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." There is immense diversity in the body of Christ. But we remain united in our diversity because we are not unified by our skin color or background or money or politics or gender or nation or preferences. We are united in the Father by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. We are unified because of one thing, the man, Jesus Christ. And we participate together in the communion of the saints. We believe in the supernatural reality of partaking of the body and the blood of Jesus when we take of the bread and of the cup. We partake of the presence of Jesus Christ. The crusty cracker is not Christ, but it is. When we receive the elements, we receive his body broken for us. The juice is not his blood, but it is. And we receive his blood poured out for us. And when we remember Jesus together by partaking of the table of the Lord as one, he brings all of us together in him. We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We believe that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that the wages of sin is death, but that God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We believe in the resurrection of the body. We are not just souls. We are bodies that will be raised to life in the new heavens and in the new earth. Acts 24, verse 14 and 15 says this, "But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust." Romans 8:23 says this, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." Our belief in the resurrection allows us to experience hardships in this life, because we know that this world is not all that there is, and we are awaiting something even greater. This gives us hope. This gives us hope in life. This gives us hope in death. And it prompts us to live now, today, in godliness and righteousness, because we believe that this little temporal life matters. And we believe in the life everlasting. John 17, verse 3 tells us that this is eternal life, that we know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. While we experience eternal life in the present as we know Jesus, there is also a greater experience of eternal life in the future. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." John 3:16 promises us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And as we live every day in the reality of our temporal lives, Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4, lifts our eyes beyond the horizon and tells us, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" Amen. This is what we believe. This is what we believe. This is what makes us one. This is what we unify around. This is the thing that we hold on to, no matter what it means we need to divide from. This is the thing that keeps us and makes us brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. This is what we believe. This is the faith given to us at that empty tomb. This is the hope secured for us at that empty tomb. This is the love poured out for us at that empty tomb. We do not hold this faith in vain, but instead, we hold our faith in full assurance, and we do not need others to pity us. But instead, we lay our lives down. We love others by preaching and demonstrating this good news of the kingdom of God to the world around us, no matter the cost in this short life. We believe. We believe the witness of history. We believe the witness of the women and the apostles and of the church. We believe the witness of the Holy Spirit. We believe Christ is risen. Let's stand together. If you're new with us this morning, we like to have a time to respond at the end of our services, to seal up what we've received in the Word of God in our time together, and to take steps towards responding what he says that we ought to do. The Bible encourages us not to just be hearers of the Word, but doers. What step forward in this faith? What way do you need to take a strong stance in this faith today? What maybe do you need to be divided from regarding the world, the flesh, and the devil today? What step towards unity in the body of Christ do you need to take today? Maybe you're here and you are not yet a part of the body of Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you know that you still have your sin. You haven't confessed and received the death of Jesus so that you could receive the resurrection of Jesus. His invitation is open to you today to come. Come to the empty tomb and receive his new life. Jesus makes a promise to you that if you will come to him and confess your sins, if you will give yourself to him, he will not make you better. He will not fix you, but you will be welcomed to be crucified with him on his cross and to be raised to a whole new life. He says you can be born again, a new creation. The old passes away, and the new comes. The Bible tells you that you, by faith, can die his death on the cross and in the same way be raised to his new life in God. If that is not something you have done before, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Our prayer team is going to come up and be across the front as they are every Sunday as we worship together. If you need prayer for anything in your life, If you need to make that confession of Christ today, come have somebody pray with you. If there's anything you need, I don't know if you knew this, but you're at church. You could get prayer. This is the place. Lord, we are so thankful for you this morning. We take hope in you today. We receive faith from you today. We accept and receive your love today. And we ask that you would fan into flame our love for you, that you would fan into flame our love for our brothers and sisters in the faith, and that you would fan into flame our love for the world around us that needs you so badly. And we thank you that that world that needs you so badly, that all of us who need you so badly, have you, because you indeed are alive. We lift up your name. We worship you as holy. There is no one like you. And you are our confession this morning. We believe in you. Let's worship together.